Grand Canyon University, a Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest-growing universities in the country, offering over 250 engaging programs online. GCU integrates the free market system and its welcoming Christian worldview perspective into its academic programs and throughout its online campus. GCU's online students received over $144 million in scholarships in 2021. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you qualify for. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Good to have you with us today, everybody. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be across America. Hey, wow, we've got a terrific show for you. Our good friend Senator Rand Paul is going to drop by. Congressman Louie Gohmert is here as well. And we're keeping an eye on what's happening over in Ukraine. Looks like the Russians are pulling back some of their tanks and some of their troops over there. I'm telling you, this is a wag the dog story. That this is all fabricated to make Joe Biden look like he is some sort of a savior of the world, who walked us back from the brink of World War III. That's my take on it. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But isn't it sort of weird that you have Ukraine, you have the United States saying, hey, look, as far as we know, we've got this in the day planner. Invasion starts on Wednesday. That's not the way things used to be back in the day. You either invaded a country or you didn't invade a country. You didn't get together with the other side and come up with some sort of a date in the day planner that works better for everybody. And then you've got the president of Ukraine announcing that the country's about to be invaded on Facebook. Who does that? And again, what sort of an emoji would you use to illustrate the fact that your country is about to be invaded and overrun? So I think it's all a bunch of hooey. We will see how things go. But more important matters are at stake today. Grace Baker, are you aware of what this week is across America on university campuses across the Fruited Plain?
Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Yes, and that was just the launch of Sex Week across America.
What?
Yeah, so your tax dollars are being used to host these week-long events, Grace Baker, at public university campuses across the Fruited Plain.
Well, man, when I went to school, I missed out on that, clearly. We didn't have that.
You want to know why? Because of yours truly. So back when I was at Fox News Channel, this is my one claim to fame in the volunteer state. Back when I was at Fox News Channel, we had a bunch of good God-fearing Baptists in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the University of Tennessee.
Oh.
And they got wind of all sorts of debauchery going down at, I mean, they were bringing in drag queens and strip artists and strippers, prostitutes, the whole nine yards. So yours truly took it upon himself to save the volunteer state from becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. And so I wrote a story about it. The state legislature went bonkers and they threatened to pull all the funding. They said, hey, fine, you wanna let the kids get naked and do Lord knows what and embarrass the fish in the Tennessee River, fine, have at it. But you're not gonna use our tax dollars. And guess what happened? Lickety split, and pardon the use of those terms in this conversation, but lickety split, they stopped Sex Week.
Well, thank you for that. Because, yeah, I think that happened, 2015, 2014, right around the time I was, graduating high school, about to go to college.
So. You're welcome, Grace Baker. And so it is, but that is not the case at other schools around America. This is from Inside Higher Ed. And, folks, your tax dollars are being used to pay for all of this. This is the kick in the pants, if you will. From the writing of Maria Carrasco in Inside Higher Ed, For many colleges and universities, Valentine's Day provides the perfect entree to Sex Week, a series of events and workshops on everything from consent and body image to contraceptives and STI testing. Among this year's more creative offerings, a Make Your Sex Toy Workshop and Condom Bingo, in which players use condoms to mark their cards, among other things. People come to campus with a wide variety and levels of education about sex, said Tammy Simpson, Vice President for Community and Inclusivity at Hood College in Maryland. They hosted their first ever Sex Week last week. Quote, we feel like having a week-long program normalizes the conversation and allows us to be open and communicate about not only sex, but sexuality, pleasure, and sexual health. The college hosted 8 events, including a professor-led discussion on the reproductive journeys of transgender and non-binary people. Gotta be honest with you folks, not sure that's a journey I want to go on. The Queer Student Union co-hosted Condom Bingo and joined the Black Student Union to sponsor Black Love Day, in which students were invited to gather, eat together, and meet new friends. You know, Grace, I'm a pretty open-minded person, but I'm not sure I want to eat a bologna sandwich around that crowd.
No.
I'm just saying.
No way.
Yeah, that's just a little disgusting to me.
Just a bit.
Amanda.
It's the lunch hour. Do we really have to start the show this way?
We're just getting started. Ooh. Tulane University, the Green Wave, scheduled more than 20 sex-related events this week, starting with a Sex Week kickoff giveaway of condom kits and sex toys.
Whoa.
Students can... Oh, you know, in our family, Grace Baker, we were big... Half the family, there was like an intelligent side of the Stearns family that liked Jeopardy.
Sure.
You know, that's their game.
Sure.
And then the other part of the family loved Wheel of Fortune. And I was the Wheel of Fortune side of the family. We just watched Wheel of Fortune.
Gotcha.
We weren't big on Jeopardy. I mean, not that that means you're less smart or stupid, but I'm just saying, in your family, you know, hierarchy, you have the Jeopardy crowd, then you have the Wheel of Fortune crowd, and you have the Family Feud crowd.
Sure. Totally normal.
All right. So anyway, we're a Wheel of Fortune, and you're always wanting to buy a vowel. We love that. My Aunt Patty from West Memphis, Arkansas, was on Wheel of Fortune. When I was a kid, it was the big story here in Memphis, Tennessee at the time. Back then, not much was happening in Memphis, so that was a big
deal.
Anyway, Tulane University is hosting a game show, too, called Wheel of Fornication.
No.
Students will be...
You made up that name.
No, I'm not making this up. It's in the Inside Higher Ed website.
Oh.
Students can play a Wheel of Fornication game to win small prizes. I guess size doesn't matter. While learning facts and statistics about sex and sexuality. Or they can attend the Black Bodies Need Love 2 discussion. Oh,
wait,
my
what?
God. This can is
I just,
terrible.
Like, opt for no prize? No prize for 200.
At Ohio State University, the Student Advocates for Sexual Health Awareness, SASHA, that's the acronym, SASHA, is hosting 20 events, including one centered around writing thank you notes to abortion providers in Ohio and Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
A spokesperson for Ohio State University says no tax dollars were used to sponsor the event. That's bull. If it's on the event, it's being sponsored by your tax dollars, period. SASHA is also hosting a discussion on gentle masculinity. And
gentle masculinity?
Yeah, yes, it's the wussification of manhood. That's what that's about.
Okay.
It's hosted by a dude named Skyler, who they're
well,
always
I have some guesses.
They're always named Skyler.
Wow. Note to self.
So, Skyler is a dude, but Skyler is the first openly transgender NCAA Division I swimmer.
Oh.
Now, this event is being held in conjunction with Lion's Den, a national sex shop where students can learn about different sex toys and gear. This is
what, I'm speechless.
This is what's happening across America, ladies and gentlemen. You folks in North Carolina, they've got Sex Week at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. They're hosting 11 events, including a do-it-yourself sex toy workshop. Is that kind of like the Build-A-Bear? You know, at the mall?
I guess. Lord, I don't want to think of it that way. I like Build-A-Bear.
Don't want to be stuffing those toys. Anyway, the sex toy workshop, backed by popular demand from last year, at which a student can pick up a toy mold and make their own sex toy using a silicone mixture. At the dating profile photo shoot, students can get their photo taken to add to their online dating profile for apps like Tinder and Bumble. What is Bumble? Is that like a, I don't want to know.
Yeah, no, I'm not even.
Do I want to know?
That's a whole other discussion.
We've got to, we have to inform the people. That's what we're doing here.
Basically, the different apps, like on Tinder, I know the guys first contact the girls. And then I think on Bumble, it's like the girls contact the guys first. And then there's another one for other types of
Whatever happened to going to church and meeting somebody at Sunday school? Whatever happened to that? I know that's kind of old school.
Old school, Todd. Old school. Or go, you know, meet someone at school or whatever. That's what I did.
There's also a speed dating event at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, where students go on miniature dates. Again, what's with the size? Miniature dates.
Play putt-putt?
I don't know. Unbelievable. The group's signature drag show is also going to be held, along with a Rocky Horror Picture Show screening. There you go.
Sounds like a week of fun.
So, look here, folks. You need to understand something, and I hope that I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. If you have a child who is currently enrolled at a public university across America, you need to get that child the hell out of that school. Folks, this is Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is happening at university campuses all over America, again, paid for by your tax dollars. Princeton University, by the way, not paid for by your tax dollars, will celebrate National Condom Day with a condom sculpture. University Health Services will provide the condoms in increments of 50 condoms per person. The event will also feature judging and prizes. Wentworth Institute of Technology hosted an event called I Love Female Orgasm, a program put on by the Sex Discussed Here organization. The university explained that it was open to orgasm aficionados and beginners of all genders. I'm reading this straight off of the university email here, folks. They want to learn, it's for students who want to learn about everything from multiple orgasms to that mysterious G-spot. You say, Todd, why are you sharing this on the radio? Because you need to understand what your tax dollars are being used for in America. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the state legislatures are responsible for funding these universities. And you need to be on the phone sometime today talking to your elected leader saying, wait a second, what is my money being used for at the University of wherever? Now, here's the thing. By the way, back to Hood College, one of the events called Cookies and Condoms and HIV Testing. I think I'll take a pass on those cookies. Thank you very much. But this is what's going on at your public universities. These kids aren't learning how to be engineers. They're not learning how to be doctors or nurses. They're not learning how to be educators. They're learning how to deconstruct our values, our morals. And it's happening right under your very nose, and you don't even know it because you have a life to live. But this is where we come in handy, because we're more than happy to share this god-awful Sodom and Gomorrah information with you, the listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program. But again, my recommendation, I would just take your kid out of the public university, put them in a good private college where they're at least going to get an education and they're not going to get exposed to fornication. They're not going to get exposed to some sort of a communicable disease, which is what it sounds like is happening at Ohio State University and all these other places. So look, we got to take a break here. This is the launching point today, ladies and gentlemen. But we've got a country to save, and if we're going to start saving the country, we've got to get a handle on this nonsense that's happening on these university campuses. I mean, geez, hello. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And if you got a kid at Hood College, I would send them back to class after break with, I don't know, some Clorox, bleach at least. We'll be right back, America.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Gary writing out on the Facebook live stream today, Todd, you're going to make me barf my sushi. Sorry about that, Gary. My apologies. Veronica says, Todd, Brown University used to have Naked Week. That's terrible. Veronica says, Todd, Brown University used to have Naked Week when my nephew attended, but he did not partake. Well, good for your nephew. She says it was actually showed on TV. I hope they pixelated. That's all I can say. Thank you, Veronica. By the way, it's not just at the university level this is happening. And someone said, did they really send thank you notes to abortion providers? Yes, they did. Ohio State University students sat down and wrote thank you notes. Dear Planned Parenthood, thank you for killing unborn babies. And the university says, hey, free speech, what do you want us to know? It's not free speech. It's paid for by our tax dollars. Ohio State, get your head out of your Buckeye. So anyway, Memphis, Tennessee, you folks listening up to us, listen on KWAM, News Talk 107.9 FM. This happened at a grade school in Memphis, Cape Bond Elementary School. Brother, the technology company that makes the printers, they're providing pro-LGBT books to preschoolers in Memphis. All part of a National Education Association plan to read across America. And they're giving the kids all of these diverse and inclusive books. And look, there's some okay books. There's some fine books on the list. But most of the books are about activism. There's one called A Kid's Book About Racism. A is for Activist. And then came the LGBT books. My Two Dads and Me, Heather Has Two Mommies, Pink is for Boys, It Feels Good to Be Yourself, a book about gender identity. Again, preschoolers, these are for preschoolers, Memphis, Tennessee, pay attention. Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the rainbow flag. Love is Love, an important LGBTQ pride book for kids about gay parents and diverse families. So look, Harvey Milk was the first gay elected leader in San Francisco who was gunned down at City Hall. The guy had been arrested in the past. I mean, he has a checkered past, but he was assassinated in City Hall. Gay leader. My question is, why does a 5-year-old need to know about all of this? Why does a 5-year-old need to know if Heather has two mommies? Why? I don't understand that. Quite frankly, why does any child need to know about the LGBTQ or even straight sex? Why do they need to know about any form of sex? They're 5-year-olds. This makes no sense to me. This is a matter about age-appropriate material. This sounds like indoctrination to me. That's what this is. And now it's happening at the preschool level in a school paid for by your tax dollars, Memphis, Tennessee. All right, got to take a break. We're going to go to the phone lines. Folks want to weigh in on this, 844-747-8868. Now, some people say, well, Todd, the kids need to know about all of this stuff, even a five-year-old. Really? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. Welcome back to the Liberty University studios, everybody. Beautiful day here in the Mid-South. Hope it's nice where you are. By the way, I've got to brag on our good friends over at AMAC, America's largest organization for conservative seniors. Happy to be a member. If you're 50 years of age or older, you can join. And they're doing some incredible work in Washington, D.C. They are fighting for conservatives. And I am urging you to consider joining AMAC. Again, they are America's largest organization for conservative seniors. You're going to get some pretty great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels and travel. Restaurants love those. At the same time, your membership is also going to support your values, and that's even more important. They have a special page just for our listeners, amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns if you want to start your discounts today. That's, again, amac.us/starns. Did you hear this crazy story yesterday? Oh, you know what? Let's go to the phones. We've got poor Alice been holding on for a while, and then we'll get to the crazy story from Kentucky. Alice from Arkansas on the line wants to weigh in on Sex Week. Alice, hope you're doing well today.
Well, thank you for that. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for taking my call. You know, my husband sometimes will say, because that's how life goes, well, let's see what Todd's headlines are today. And the headlines today break my heart. It breaks my heart. This country is in such a need of a spiritual revival. God made marriage. He made it to be for people to be virgins when they marry. It is so sad. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I really fear judgment's coming. I really do.
Oh, Alice, I have no doubt that judgment is coming. I think judgment may already be here to some extent, and I think we're getting a taste of it with this, not just with the administration and with the policies, but with the fact that so many of our fellow countrymen don't know what it means to be a free people. They don't know what it means to be a moral people. So, Alice, I completely agree with you. It's heartbreaking to hear the emotion in your voice. But the reality is, when you look at the fall of the Roman Empire, it was all due to their own immorality and their own debauchery. And here we are, the greatest country on the face of the planet. And Alice, we are heading down a very dangerous path towards Rome.
I couldn't agree with you more. We need a revival. People need to really get down on their knees, and if they can't, I'm 76, and my knees don't do well on the floor. But my heart bends before God. I'm blind. In my blindness, I really found out that Jesus loves me, and my sins are forgiven.
Yes.
People need want to know how they look to God. That's what's going to matter.
Well, you're right about that, Alice. And one of the things that we do on this radio program, we just sort of bring it to you, the good, bad, and the ugly, so people can know, hey, here's what's happening in your country. They may not be talking about this on the evening news, but I believe these are important stories for us to consider as we try to figure out how to get out of this mess of a situation we're in. Alice, we're going to leave it there. God bless you. What a kind-hearted person. And you can hear it in her voice. And I think, Alice, I suspect there are others in this audience who share her value system on this and her belief system in this. But look, this is America. I'm a person of faith, Christian faith. I'm a Baptist. I would like for everybody to be a Baptist. I would like everybody to share in the value system and the belief system that I have. But that's not a reality. Here in America, you can be whatever you want to be. And I respect that. I respect that because this is the form of government, the form of life we have under the United States Constitution. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, whenever there is a crazy story in the news, and, I mean, they break into the programming, breaking news, and the anchors are, they're pale, and they're breathing heavily, and they're just sharing the news with you. And then all of a sudden that story disappears. Typically, it's because the narrative they thought they had turned out not to be true. And we have another example of that. It happened yesterday. This is a crazy story. So there's a guy running for mayor of Louisville, Kentucky. He's a Democrat, Craig Greenberg. And this guy is now Greenberg. They portrayed him as like, you know, he was outspoken against Trump, just the way they described the aftermath. He was an outspoken, you know, Trump hater, and he fought for gun rights. So you have to factor all of this into what I'm about to share with you. So the guy's at one of his campaign events or his campaign office. Some dude comes in and tries to shoot him, fired a gun and shot the and the guy missed, hit Mr. Greenberg's sweater. I mean, Mr. Greenberg is lucky to be alive. But this was an attempted assassination of a political candidate. That is a horrible story. And it led the news. I mean, it was breaking news. And then we didn't hear anything else about it. Because the way they described this, and they never described the color of the gunman. And this is interesting, because whenever it's a white guy, they will tell you, a white guy with a gun did X, Y, or Z. That's a given. But, and especially if the guy is wearing a MAGA hat. But the way they portrayed this, they made it sound like he was done, that some wackadoodle Trump supporter was trying to take out a Democrat running for mayor. Now we know why they're not talking about the story, because it's not true. As a matter of fact, it was a black nationalist who was accused of the crime, someone who appeared frequently on MSDNC and happened to be associated with none other than President Barack Hussein Obama. I know you're shocked. They left all of this out, by the way. But the guy who is the guy who has been charged, his name is Quintez Brown. And he was a member of President Obama's My Brother's Keeper Alliance, an organization that supported boys and young men of color. So, Grace Baker, you may have been too young to remember this back in the Obama days. But Obama was real keen on helping young men of color, you know, get a leg up in the world.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't really remember very much about that.
If you are a white kid living in a trailer park on the other side of town, you didn't deserve any help. But by golly, if you were a person of color, Obama was going to help you out.
Because equality, right?
Equality. You got. I just, look, I know people cringe when I talk about this, but we got to talk about it. You know, everybody talks about it in hushed tones. But,
whisper,
you know,
whisper, whisper.
Yeah, but we got a great, big, beautiful, huge microphone here at the Liberty University studio. We want to be able to talk about these issues. They did a feature story on this guy, Louisville.edu. That's the university website. Mr. Brown was also a member of the Louisville Youth Voices Against Violence. Which,
man, they got to come up with some shorter names for these things. They're just a mouthful,
hard
you know?
Hard to get that on the business card.
A little bit.
But you have to hear this quote.
Uh-oh.
So they were interviewing him about, I mean, he actually went to the White House, shook Obama's hand, had a little conversation with the president, the black nationalist who gunned down the white Democrat, or tried to. Anyway, here's the quote. When I first heard about, wow, pardon me, voice change there. When I first heard about the My Brother's Keeper Alliance, when my coworker sent me the application, I suggested I apply for MBK Rising. That's My Brother's Keeper Rising. That's
okay.
The abbreviated version. It's like those churches, Grace. Have you seen them? They got the church van, and it's the Church of Jesus Christ of West Memphis, Arkansas,
Latter-day
in the name
Saints.
Of our Lord.
I don't
Latter-day
know.
Saints. It's just, the name just goes right around on the other side
yes.
of the van. It's, anyway, this is the quote from Mr. Brown. I decided to apply because the only requirements, this is great, the only requirements were, are you a young man of color?
Wow.
And are you doing exceptional work on behalf of young men of color? Boom, you're in.
There you go.
What's your pigmentation, pal? What? Yeah, a little too pasty for us. Good
Dang.
Luck. Head on down to the YMCA. So anyway, this guy is now facing attempted murder charges, and they're leaving all of this stuff out of the reporting.
Of course they are.
Unbelievable. His, by the way, Brown previously worked for the Louisville Courier Journal, so he's a journalist, too.
Of course.
It keeps getting better. In December, he shared a short campaign video on Twitter announcing he was running to represent District 5 for the city council. His writings advocate for communism, socialism, liberation.
Sounds like a joy.
And he has a problem with gun-loving Republicans. How did he get a gun? As a freshman in college, he was selected to meet former President Obama. Now, you know, if this guy had been white and wearing a MAGA hat, it would have been a Trump devotee.
Oh, yeah.
A Trump disciple tries to gun down a city council member.
It would have been another insurrection.
Of course. So anyway, you have a former Obama disciple, a black nationalist who supports liberation and communism, gunning down or trying to gun down a guy running for mayor.
Gotta love it.
A white Democrat. Wow. All right. So at least here on this program, you're learning, you know, you're going to get the full story. Nothing but the facts here on the Tom Starnes radio program. All right. 844-747-8868. Hey, coming up a little bit later on, our good friend, Senator Rand Paul, Congressman Louie Gohmert is going to weigh in on the very latest involving President Trump, the fake Russia collusion hoax, and the attempts by the Democrats to spy on his campaign and spy on the president inside the White House. Folks, this is just unreal. Unreal. And the mainstream media is completely ignoring the story. They don't want to have anything to do with it. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for folks like me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Now, Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You will also receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time with any purchase, you also get Mike's softcover book free when you use the promo code STARNS. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. Along with this offer, you're also going to get some deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the towel sets. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. Jennifer Say is, or should I say was, a former executive at Levi Strauss & Company, based in San Francisco, by the way, the Blue Jean Company. She'd been with the company since 1999, started out in as an assistant and worked her way all the way to the top of the company, and was in line to be the next CEO of Levi Strauss, but she was forced out of her job because she is very upset at how California has been handling the China virus crisis in the classroom. And it's interesting because she is a Democrat. She is a supporter of Elizabeth Warren. That's who she supported for the White House. And she's being called every name under the book because she opposes these mandates in the classroom. And she has been very outspoken. She appeared on a lot of local news shows in her capacity as a mom. So she's got four kids, and she is just very concerned. And she was called in to the company, the HR department, and she was accused, because of her positions, she was accused of being a racist. Now, what's weird about this is she has two black sons. So how is it that you can accuse this woman of being a racist? Again, she's a Democrat. She actually was very supportive in the aftermath of the George Floyd murder and the Ahmaud Arbery case down in Georgia. And she said not a single person in the company complained about her activism until she started speaking out against these mandates. So she got called in to legal, HR, board of directors. They're all very upset. By the way, her title is not in her Twitter bio. She's always speaking as a public school mom of four kids. And she was being accused of all these horrible things by the company. And they told her, look, here's the deal. You're either going to be quiet or we're going to give you the heave-ho. And so anyway, the official line is that they forced, is that she resigned. They made her sign a non-disclosure agreement, but she refused to sign it. It was that NDA was worth $1 million, but she refused to sign it. She points out it doesn't make any sense because she said colleagues at Levi Strauss posted nonstop about the need to oust Trump in the November election, and that was okay. It was okay for her to advocate on behalf of Elizabeth Warren. And now she says that, and she also says that the company's taken political stands on gay rights, voting rights, gun safety. And now the argument is, well, we don't weigh in on hyper-local issues like this. All right, well, first of all, this is a hyper-national issue. So anyway, Jennifer Say, writing on a Substack, she says, I refuse to stop talking. I kept calling out the hypocritical and unproven policies, met with the mayor's office. She ended up moving her entire family to Denver so that her child could experience real school. So anyway, now she's out of a job. The head of diversity, equity, and inclusion at Levi Strauss suggested that she might want to do an apology tour. What? Quote, I was told the main complaint against me was that I was not a friend of the black community, that I was an imperfect ally. You know, I...
Never woke enough.
No, you're never woke enough.
Never.
It doesn't matter how many black kids you have. It's never enough.
you speak out on one thing they don't agree with, even if you've agreed with everything else, you're done for.
Back in 2017, she asked to be the executive sponsor of the Black Employee Resource Group.
Wow. I mean, she's a great example of this.
They said the fact that she's fought for kids for years did not matter.
Nope.
It didn't matter. She was citing facts. The head of HR said that even though she was right about the schools, it was classist and racist that public schools stayed shut while private schools were open. There you go. And so the next CEO of Levi's is now unemployed, out of a job.
Insane.
And I'm glad she's talking about it. Had she had signed that $1 million severance package, nobody would know. Nope. Nobody would know. So there you go. They said that she was acting like Donald Trump. That's
wow.
What they said. So I don't know where you buy your blue jeans, but folks, I wouldn't give a single penny to Levi. And I would tell them. I would go to the local Levi's store and say, you know what? Love your product. Not going to buy it anymore. And here's the reason why. Got to start, folks. We've got to start living our lives by supporting companies that share our values. This is outrageous. So we stand with Jennifer Say, the Elizabeth Warren Democrat, who turned out to be too woke or not woke enough. There you go. All right, we'll be right back, America. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right. Not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hello, everybody. Good to have you with us today, America. Hope things are going great wherever you might be. I have a question for you. Should President Trump run in 2024? I just think about this for a moment here. We've talked about this over the past year or so now, about whether he will or he won't, but should he run? At the end of the day, is that the best move for the president? I mean, he does have some options, and I think he is going to run, but should he run? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I mean, there's one train of thought that says, you know what? He did a heck of a great job. He was treated horribly. America gets what it deserves. The president should enjoy his retirement years. Just hang out on the golf course, host the parties at Mar-a-Lago, and build his library. That's one train of thought. Now, another is that, no, he is not finished in politics, and what the president ought to do, if he really wants to facilitate some change and blow things up in Washington, he ought to consider the Speaker of the House. He should work out a deal, work out an arrangement with the Republicans in the House of Representatives, and he could be the next Speaker of the House. That's another, I think that would be from a talk radio host position, I think that would be a brilliant move. It would certainly be entertaining, and it would cause the Democrats to implode. But there are others who say there is an unfinished second term, and the president should be allowed to finish what he started. But I'm curious, what do you say about this president? Yes, he's probably going to run, but should he run for office? 844-747-8868 is our number. The reason I ask this question, it's going to be a long, hard fight, and it's going to get ugly. And I'm not even talking about the Democrats. I'm talking about the Republicans. Jonathan Martin has another piece in the New York Times. We were reading one yesterday. He's got another piece out today. And Jonathan Martin is reporting that establishment Republicans are waging a stealth war. Well, it's not stealth anymore. They're waging a war to stop Donald Trump. And they're waging a war not just to stop Donald Trump. They're waging a war to stop Donald Trump's candidates. Trump is out there endorsing a lot of people for congressional races, for senatorial races, for governorships. And the establishment Republicans are rising up in defiance. Among those that they've dispatched are people like former President George W. Bush. I'm going to read this line from Jonathan Martin's piece in the New York Times. Mr. Bush and a band of anti-Trump Republicans led by Senator Mitch McConnell are hoping that Doug Ducey does more than listen. Ducey, the governor of Arizona, they're trying to talk this guy into running for Senate. As Mr. Trump works to retain his hold on the Republican Party, elevating a slate of friendly candidates in midterm elections, Mr. McConnell and his allies are quietly, desperately maneuvering to try to thwart him. The loose alliance, which was once thought of as the GOP establishment, has been engaged in a high-stakes candidate recruitment campaign full of phone calls, meetings, polling memos, promises of millions of dollars. And by the way, you better believe Karl Rove is in the middle of all of this nonsense. Karl Rove, by the way, is responsible for screwing up a lot of the redistricting efforts around the country for Republicans. McConnell and Bush say it's all aimed at recapturing the Senate majority, but the election also represents what could be Republicans' last chance to reverse the spread of Trumpism before it fully consumes their party. They're coming after you if you are a Trump supporter. That's what this is all about here. We got a lot of people wanting to weigh in on this. I want to go to Morehead City, North Carolina. Dave on the line, listening to us on The Talk Station. All right, Dave, what do you think? Should Trump do this?
Trump needs to not run, and I'll tell you the number one thing that I'm hearing is from a lot of people, we're hearing Trump's name too much. There's other people alive besides him, but, you know, when he first ran and he was making the petty personal comments and the thing came out about, can't you be more presidential? And he said, yes, I can, and then didn't. And that is still a major blockage for a lot of people. They don't want to hear his fussing and whining and on about how, you know, we know that he lost. We know that the election wasn't right, everything else. But he needs to stop talking about it and get on focus with what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and how it's going to benefit the people. And we don't hear that. You know, he keeps going back to, you know, how he was cheated in the election and enough. If anybody who's raised kids is listening to this and they understand, it's time to say enough. Heard you the first 100 times. Now, what are you going to do?
Dave, have you supported the president before? Were you a Trump supporter?
I voted for him.
So you voted for Trump. All right. For the first time or the second time?
But I'm not as big a fan. I would have voted for John the janitor if it was against Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. But again, you know, the idea of, okay, what does presidential mean? I mean, are you talking about the tweets? Because he was a pretty presidential president if the idea is getting policy passed and moving his agenda forward.
Well, he really wasn't in the way that a lot of times when things came out, and I'm not talking about tweets, I'm talking about a lot of his petty personal comments that came out at the wrong time. Or, you know, if he would he would go on and on and on about what somebody did. Okay, let's not point fingers. Let's not place blame. Let's say this is wrong, and this is how we're going to fix it. And then go into the steps of how we're going to remedy the problem. This is going to be the outcome. In other words, something more positive. He just beats the negative horse to death.
Dave, I'll go with you on this. If the campaign slogan is the election was stolen, I was robbed, that's not a winning formula for 2024. I'll agree with you on that. Dave, got to run. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Tom in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. All right, Tom, what say you?
Well, first, thank you for your faith-filled radio show. And I would like to comment that I believe, for the benefit of the country, the conservative, constitutional support of the United States of America, it is not in the best interest of Trump to run for president. What we need are Trump policies with a younger generation to carry our country forward for more than one term. Somebody that can relate to a younger generation that has the Trump ideals and values and possibly the support of more of the rhino and honest Republican congressmen.
Tom, who do you think that person is? If it's not Donald Trump, who do you think that person would be?
Well, I bow to a cultural movement. I think someday we're going to have a female president. I think Noam from South Dakota and the lady in Iowa are both constitutional conservatives. I don't know them that well, but I think we're going to move in that direction. And I would like to see a multicultural lineup of president and vice president. And I think that would have the opportunity to carry the African-American vote, the female vote, and those of us who are true constitutional conservatives.
You see, Tom, I appreciate what you're saying there, but I don't see that the Republicans are ever good at playing the identity politics card. Every time we do that, it doesn't work out. And I think the reason why is Republicans should, and by history, have demonstrated they want the best person for the job, not because someone is a specific skin color or gender. That being said, the two people you mentioned, Kristi Noem, I think she's fine. I think she still has a lot of growing to do. Kim Reynolds, I think if you're going, I mean, look, let's just play the identity card for a moment for the sake of your argument, Tom. I think out of the two, Kim Reynolds, who is the governor of Iowa, has really demonstrated her seniority and her leadership probably a little bit more so than Noem, who is fine. I'm just saying Kim Reynolds probably is a bit more seasoned, more of a political veteran there. So, all right, Tom, appreciate the call.
Can I have one more thing?
Sure, go right ahead real quick.
One of the things you and I have to be aware of is that cultural identity is an issue for the younger generation, and we need to include that. And Noem and Reynolds, neither one have the experience that we think is necessary. But look at Trump. He was a businessman that was able to fulfill more of his campaign promises than any president in my lifetime.
And I think one of the reasons why, Tom, is that he was not a politician. He was a businessman, and that's how he approached the challenge in the White House. Tom, got to run. Appreciate the call. Wow, I'm surprised. So if you look at the polling data, it's Trump by a landslide, but clearly there are people out there who say that Trump, his time has come and gone. But let's go to Pennsylvania. We have another Tom with us. All right, Tom, what say you, sir?
Hey, Todd, I think he absolutely should run, and I agree with what you said. We shouldn't play the identity politics stuff. I mean, he got more votes than any sitting president in history. You know, Biden didn't get all the votes that got him in there. So that tells me the people still want him. And as far as his tweets and things he says, every morning I couldn't wait to get up and see why the Democrats' heads were exploding. I loved it. So that was just a bonus to me with everything else he was doing, you know, to make this country a better place.
Tom, I will support this president. If he decides to run again, he's got my vote. I think he's earned it. He delivered on a lot of promises he made on the campaign trail the first go around. And honestly, Tom, I don't see anybody in the current field of even potential opponents that is going to be able to beat the Democrats, especially if it's a Michelle Obama. Or Hillary Clinton, for that matter. I think Trump was the only Republican who could have taken down Hillary.
I agree with that 100%, because none of them would have had the guts to do and say what he did to take her down.
No.
Another person in politics that would have did that.
Yeah, it's like the Republicans treat this like it's some sort of a fencing competition, when in fact it's a knockdown, drag-out street fight, and that's why you needed Donald Trump in there.
Right, MMA.
I love it. All right, Tom, God bless. Wow, that's a great way to describe it, too. I mean, it really is. It's an MMA match. I mean, just knockdown, drag out. All right, folks, got to take a break here. We're getting right back to the phones. Congressman Louie Gohmert coming up the next hour. We have our good friend Senator Rand Paul going to drop by. But your calls for this segment of the program, 844-747-8868, should President Trump run for office? This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
President Biden, by the way, is going to be making an announcement about Ukraine at 3:30 Eastern time. You'll want to listen to your local radio station for that announcement. You can also watch it on Newsmax TV. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Patricia in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Patricia, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to call in to give my input on President Trump. I appreciate him so much, and I would so hope that he runs in the next election. About the person that said that he needs to quit talking about the past election, I totally disagree. I think he not only needs to keep talking about it, but we need to keep talking about it. And I'm so thankful for those in different states that are standing up, because I don't believe we're going to win any more elections if it is not fixed. As far as his qualifications, the one of the things that I really appreciate about him is he stands up for the weak, for the mothers of those that lost people coming in over the border, for so many different things that he took up for. He's also has an amazing memory. For his age, well, amazing memory for any age as far as I'm concerned. But, and he tells, definitely think that we need him back in there.
Yeah, Patricia, I've seen the polling data that, and a majority of Americans say they want answers. They want to know what happened in 2020. And I get that. I do too. But from a political standpoint, that cannot be the message. That the election was stolen, and I'm still upset about it. You know, we've got to have another vision for, you know, making America great again. We've got to be able to illustrate, and the president's going to have to be able to illustrate how he can save us from these horrible policies that Biden is shoving down our throats.
Well, I think he's proven that he can do that, but I also think we have to keep with it, and not just say I'm upset about it, but there are people that are doing concrete things to correct it and bringing up evidence. So that's just where I stand on it.
That's good. Look, it's a great point you have, and again, I'm with you. Trump's got my vote. He's a tough guy, and we need tough people in the White House. Patricia, God bless you, and thank you for calling. Give us a holler back one of these days.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And we're going to be heading to Statesville very soon. So you folks out there in North Carolina, be paying close attention. We'll make it out to Moorhead City, North Carolina, too. They have one of the best seafood places out there. And if you're in, they're right there on the coastline. And the Outer Banks, is that the Outer Banks? If I know somebody from Moorhead City will correct me if I'm wrong here. But there's a great little seafood place right there on the water. It's called the Sanitary Fish House. And you got to go. It's just amazing food. Had a great time. Met the owners and just good people. And it's delicious seafood. And it's not pretentious. You know, it's a good place you can go sit back, have a good time, and laugh and cut up. All right. You know what? We're going to take a break here. Wow. This half hour just flew by. Hang tight. If you're on hold, we're going to get to your calls. Congressman Louie Gohmert is coming up as well. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free number. Hey, go to our website. Download the app. That's right. We've got a great app. The link is in our live show blog. That way you're able to listen to the Todd Stern Show wherever you are in America. We'll be right back.
If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, you are going to love Viator. Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. And for me, Sun Valley skiing is huge on my bucket list. So I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, custom ski and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to our condo. Pretty unbelievable. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
All right, folks, good to have you back with us. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be. By the way, all this talk about, you know, people are saying, well, Trump needs to just stop talking about the stop the steal. That's what's coming from the media as well. Here's Hillary Clinton. Cut number two, please.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
He knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows.
What they'll do this next time is to really disrupt the actual election. Shut down the servers that you send results to.
There's no question any longer. The Russians actively interfered in our election to help Donald Trump. There is no hoax. It's true.
The Kremlin, meaning Putin and the Russian government, are directing the attacks, the hacking on American accounts to influence our election.
All right, there you go. Hillary Clinton, her campaign, spying, caught spying on the Trump campaign, also spying on the president while he was in the White House. And the mainstream media wants you to pretend like there's not a story here. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the awesome state of Texas, Congressman Louie Gohmert. Congressman, I hope you're doing good. It's been a while.
Well, it has been a while. But, man, I, as always, I love what you're doing. I love what you're exposing. And just those clips that you've played there are so important. Because, you know, on the one hand, it's tempting to say, well, we know her campaign was involved, but maybe she didn't know. But, Todd, from the things you played there, even if she didn't know originally that they were behind it, let me just read you 18 U.S. Code Section 2. Whoever commits an offense against the United States, in other words, whoever commits a crime under U.S. law, or, big old two-letter word, or aids, abets, counsels, induces, is punishable as a principal, meaning as if they're the ones that actually came up with the idea themselves. She may have come up with the idea herself. She may have been on the original planning, but even if she wasn't, with the kind of things that you're playing there, she clearly has aided and abetted and induced and procured what they did. And it sounds to me like she should be held accountable as a principal for all of these things. And in the legal realm, in trying cases where I spent most of my life till I got to Congress, there is a doctrine called spoliation. And that's a doctrine regarding evidence, that if evidence is in the possession of one of the parties and that party destroys that evidence, then the judge can instruct the jury that they may presume that that evidence proved the case against that party that destroyed it. Well, you've got her obstructing evidence, regardless of what the evidence showed. She obstructed evidence. She destroyed evidence. So anyway, she obstructed justice, and she ought to be held accountable for all these things. Unfortunately, when President Trump was in office, we had trouble finding an attorney general that would go after Hillary and the Democratic Party the way they should have.
Yeah, it's
but Durham's still out there. He should have been faster than he's been, but the evidence is still coming in.
And I'm wondering if eventually we're going to find out that maybe, just maybe, President Obama and his administration were somehow involved in all of this as well. I mean, there was an effort to make sure Donald Trump never saw the Oval Office.
Yep. And you know, some of this was discussed in front of Obama and Biden both. So I think once we get the majority back, it will be critical to have a commission investigate Biden and Harris. How much did they know? When did they know it? How much did he forget because of dementia? We need to know all of those things. But, you know, this is such a dangerous time for this country. It's quite possible, maybe even likely, that we will not recover from the amount of corruption that the Democratic Party has utilized and weak-kneed Republicans have not stood up against. But that's why I'm coming back to Texas to run for attorney general. I'm quite concerned about losing Texas in the 2024 election to corruption, to illegal voting. And if we lose Texas, there's no route for a Republican to become president. So it's important that we have a legal election, that all the votes that are legal are counted, that no votes are disenfranchised. And we also have an issue at our southern border. They're pouring people into Texas and the U.S. It is an invasion. It's like Pancho Villa in 1916. He and some of his troops came into Columbus, New Mexico. I think the best account is there were 18 Americans killed. Some say as many as 25. But regardless, that was an invasion that caused President Wilson to send John Pershing and the U.S. Army chasing Pancho Villa. Well, we don't have to go into Mexico. We just need to repel the invasion at our border. And Texas is capable and has the resources it needs to do that. And we ought to be doing it. That is perfectly legal under the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good buddy, Congressman Louie Gohmert, running to be the next Attorney General of the state of Texas. In the meantime, Congressman, there's a lot of work to be done. You've got the situation in Ukraine. The president is going to be speaking on that about 3:30 Eastern time today. Can I just tell you, from my vantage point, this is just a weird sort of wag the dog kind of a story. I'm just not believing what we're hearing.
No, and well, do you believe Biden or do you believe the president of Ukraine? Now, the thing about and I majored in history in college because I knew I owed 4 years to the Army. I'd do that before I did anything else. And I loved history. But historically speaking, when the leader of one country starts saying something is going to happen internationally that's not good, and he keeps saying it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. When he said that, in essence, that Russia could have a minor invasion or incursion into Ukraine, he just tacitly gave approval for Russia to do that. That would have gotten Putin all excited. Okay, he says we're going to do it, and that he was prepared to allow a minimal invasion. So, you know, we've got the green light. And, of course, knowing you are so well informed, it was the Secretary of State during Truman's administration that made a comment about Korea being outside our defensive line, beyond our sphere of influence type thing. And the North Korea took that as a sign that the U.S. wouldn't do anything if they went into South Korea. So here they came. Those kind of things say they are self-fulfilling prophecies. They cause international incidents to happen. Under Trump, of course, you had a leader that didn't bluff. He said what he was going to do, and he would do it. And the leaders of China and Russia and Iran knew he's not just kidding. He's very serious.
Right.
But along comes Biden. They know they can push him around. He won't do anything. And, in fact, they know about American politics. They know he needs a distraction from what's happening here, and so they're giving him a distraction.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Good luck to you out there on the campaign trail.
Well, thank you, Todd. This is for all the marbles, and that's why I would leave what people said was a safe seat to run statewide. It looks good. It looks like there will likely be a runoff, and that be Paxton and me, and then we can finish making our case. But we got to save Texas so we can save the Union.
I'm not a Texan, but if I were, you'd have my vote. I can tell you that much right now.
Well, thanks so much, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Congressman Louis Gohmert, great American patriot right there on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, it's a funny story. When Obama shut down the parks, and they actually sent the National Park Service out to wrap the World War II memorial in this plastic fencing. And we had honor flights coming in. You had all of these elderly World War II veterans out there, and they were not allowed to. They had flown to Washington, D.C., and Obama would not let them inside the memorial. So I was doing a live report for Fox News, for Fox and Friends. And the show was over. I was just kind of milling about talking to people. And along comes Michelle Bachmann and Louis Gohmert and somebody else. I can't remember who the other congressman was. And I asked what they were doing. And they said, well, we're going to go. And they had wire cutters. And they were going to cut down the fence so that the senior World War II veterans could go into the memorial. And so I looked over at we had an engineer with us at Fox, and I said, hey, do you have some wire cutters? And he goes, yeah, I probably got some somewhere. Went back to the satellite truck, pulled out some wire cutters, and I said, well, count me in too. So we all went over there, Bachmann and Gohmert and myself, and we commenced to cutting down the fence so the World War II veterans could come in. And the Park Service guys were pretty cool about it. They didn't arrest us. I guess they could have. But, you know, I mean, come on, seriously? All that to say Louis Gohmert's a good man, and he always does the right thing. And I say, good for you, Congressman Gohmert. All right. You know what? We're going to take one quick call here before we go to break. Let's go to Chris in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Mr. Starnes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love Louis Gohmert. He is so awesome. I just wanted to say this. Yes, Trump needs to run again. Who do we have that will stand up to the rest of the world and the shenanigans that are going on right now? It's Trump. Trump was always about America. He was America first, and he was the best friend that Israel ever had. And as far as I'm concerned, if he runs again, I would like to see him appoint Jim Jordan as the Attorney General. Jim Jordan would go after all the corruption. Either that or Abraham Hamilton III. You know Abraham. He's constitutionally sound. And, you know, if it's not going to be Trump, then I'd like to have Ron DeSantis. We need somebody who will stand up against the tyranny, as Ron DeSantis has done. He laid down the gauntlet on the heavy hand of government, and that's what we need. We need somebody who is all America. And the only people that I see, like I said, are DeSantis and Trump. And
do you think that Ivanka and Jared are hurting the president with these endorsements of the fake conservatives?
Well, you know, I can't understand why they're not on the same page.
Well, she's a Democrat. He is too.
I understand that. And, we've got to get away from people who endorse rhinos. We can't have rhinos anymore. But the thing is, Todd, if we're going to win back the presidency, okay, the Republicans are going to have to work hard to get in there and get into these local elections and get in there and say, look, we want poll watchers everywhere. We want our conservative people watching these polls and making sure that there is nothing bad going on. They didn't even stand up against the fake census numbers. You can't tell me that Tennessee only gained 658,000 people in 10 years. Come on, man.
All right.
I mean, that's just where I'm at. We need strong people.
Yeah, no, I hear you, because they're yelling at me to take a break. That's why I got to wrap it up here. But anyway, look, I appreciate it, Chris. I mean, and oh, I hear you, but there are some things we've got to get worked out. I would love to see a committee of people like Jordan, Mark Meadows, that are helping the president make these appointments, especially the cabinet level positions, because some of those just killed the president. And you know where those were coming from. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. A couple of lines open now. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Ricky Stacy watching us on the Rumble. Yeah, we're live on Rumble, too. Waving at all you folks right now on Rumble. Ricky Stacy says, Todd, I'm getting mad at some of your callers that say we need a president that's quiet. They want a president that lies to you, like Hillary or Obama. They want a president that's silent and lies to you and does nothing. That's a president that they want. I want a president that fights tooth and nail and goes after those crooked people. Yours truly, Ricky Stacy. I hear you, Ricky. But there are people, and you heard them, folks. There are people out there that really, truly believe that the president needs to go to an etiquette class. What, Miss Manners, maybe? I don't go to a finishing school. I'm not sure I want a president that's going to be drinking the Diet Coca-Cola with his pinky out. But that's what some people want. That's what they want in their president. I like Trump because he's a fighter. And I like what he did to the mainstream media. He emasculated every one of them, including the gals. I mean, it was a great thing. And I kind of miss that. I really do. I miss Sarah Sanders going after and just completely dismantling the White House press corps. I miss those good old days. It's not as fun nowadays with Little Red Lion Hood. Oh, by the way, when we come back, we've got Senator Rand Paul coming up. Greg Jarrett is going to be here. He wrote the definitive books about the attacks on President Trump, and he's the guy that knows it all. He's written 3 books, and we're excited to have him on the program coming up next. Also, we're going to play some audio for you. there is a public school that has a transition closet. And we're going to explain what that's all about. It's just as weird and pervoed as you might think it is. All right, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us today. President Biden speaking at this very moment. He will also be addressing the nation, speaking from the White House around 3:30 Eastern on Ukraine, hashtag wag the dog. I want you to hear what the president of the United States, folks, we just can't make this stuff up. I want you to hear what the president just said.
And again, I'm not being solicitous. You've been critical partners since day one on masking, texting, vaccination.
No, it's not texting. It's not texting, Mr. President. I think he meant to say testing. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the leader of the free world. All right. Lot going on this hour of the program. Write down our number. You're going to need this if you want to call in, 844-747-8868. Our website, again, toddstearns.com. From the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, always an honor to have Senator Rand Paul with us. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Todd. I, for one, have been texting many of his press releases and his press statements because they're so otherworldly.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a very polite way of putting it, Senator. Oh, my goodness. Senator, the news coming out over the weekend about this Durham report and the spying, the media, they're just not going to cover this. They are going to pretend like it never happened, it never existed.
Yeah, and what's extraordinary here is that it turns out that not only were they spying on him using the government when he was a candidate, using something, you know, tools of the government that were intended to be used for foreign terrorists, but then even after he was president, they were using private companies. And I think somebody's going to jail on this. You know, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a judge, but these were contractors. So a government contractor had access to certain databases because he was a government contractor there. And the Democrats hired this contractor to then snoop on the president's phone calls and transactions to see if he had any connection to Russia. But can you imagine being a government contractor and then spying on the president for another political party? I mean, I can't imagine how people don't go to jail over this.
It's shocking. And when you look at the full context, Greg Jarrett's coming on a little bit later from Fox. He's written a number of books about this. It's a reminder that the deep state, Senator, really is a thing in Washington, D.C.
You know, without question, my dad warned about this right after 9/11. He says, you're hungry to go after our enemies. I'm all with you. But he says, if you pass legislation like the Patriot Act and you don't protect Americans from this, you're going to skip the steps of the Constitution. You know, to get a wiretap on a president or a wiretap on a presidential candidate should be a significant burden. It's called the Fourth Amendment. But if you use terrorist warrants like the Patriot Act and you use FISA warrants, which are for foreign intelligence, all of a sudden you skip the Constitution, you have a lower standard, and voila, you're spying on a president. So, but this wasn't even that. They skipped all the steps here. They didn't even try to apply the Patriot Act to the president. They just did it illegally. I can't see no other way that they can get out of this not being illegally done, and I can't see how they can avoid jail time. So I really think, and this could get bigger, because ultimately, who paid the bills? Did Hillary Clinton have knowledge that private contractors doing work for government were also spying on the president? You know, those questions need to be asked. I think that she should be brought in before the Durham committee. I don't control any of that, and I don't know who they've interviewed. But I think, you keep interviewing until you get to the very top of the food chain.
It is. I mean, just the overwhelming attacks on Donald Trump and the amount of time and energy and effort that went into trying to stop him from being elected president. I mean, they really considered him to be public enemy number one.
There's also the great irony is they were accusing him of being in league with the Russians, but they actually took information or misinformation, Russian disinformation, to use against him. So the Russians produced this dossier. That's where they got it. You know, this Christopher Steele guy bought information from the Russians. So the Russian puts this information, disinformation that the Clintons bought and then promoted to try to link Trump to the Clintons, when the only people exchanging money with the Russians was the Clinton campaign, because they paid Christopher Steele, who then paid Russians. So it completely boggles my mind that this thing went on for years and years, was bought up hook, line, and sinker. They made fun of President Trump when he told Leslie Stahl that, you know, they're spying on me, and everybody said, you can't say that. You can't say that on CBS. Well, where is she now? Is she going to apologize now that the word is coming out that the Clinton campaign was indeed spying on Donald Trump?
And to your point, I mean, you ask a great point on your Twitter page. You know, where are all of the civil libertarians on the left? I'd like to know where Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and some of these establishment Republicans are with their indignation over this.
Well, they never. Kinzinger and Cheney never were into defending the Fourth Amendment or civil liberties. But there are some on the left. These were progressive Democrats who I've worked with on defending civil liberties and protecting the Fourth Amendment, protecting against search and seizure. But they became very, very quiet under Trump. And their hatred for Trump obscured any kind of fidelity to the Constitution. And this is sad, because I can tell you honestly, if the shoe were on the other foot, if it was a Republican that had spied on Joe Biden's presidency, I absolutely would call him out, because I believe so strongly in defending us individuals, Americans, against illegal government searches, that it wouldn't matter to me which party. But for the Democrats, they have been largely quiet, and very, very few of them have spoken out to say that this was an abuse of government power, an abuse of our intelligence agencies to use them against a presidential candidate.
Senator, we had Congressman Louis Gohmert on in the last segment, and we were talking about Ukraine. I just don't get this. It does remind me of that movie, Wag the Dog, where you've got, you know, pronouncements being made. I guess they got their day planners out to decide, you know, when the invasion would work well for everybody. This is just plain weird.
I think nobody knows whether the Russians will invade or not. I can tell you my hope is that they don't invade. I can also tell you that the biggest deterrent to them invading is Germans and the Europeans, because that's who they do business with. We buy very little natural gas from Russia. We probably get some. But really, the Europeans get maybe a third, maybe 40% of their natural gas is coming from Russia. But that doesn't mean they're just dependent on Russia. Russia is also dependent on those euros that they pay for them. It's an interdependence. And I think it was a good sign that the German chancellor was going to Russia, and I believe is still there in Moscow. And hopefully those conversations will bear some fruit. If we say we're going to refuse to buy Russian natural gas, I don't think it's enough really to persuade them. If the Germans or the Europeans in general said that, or said they wouldn't open up one of the gas pipelines, I think they can have some deterrence. On the other side, deterrence is the stick. That's what you promise to do if they do something you don't like. On the other side, I think that we actually should say that we're not going to encourage Ukraine to join a military alliance against Russia. To me, it would be like Mexico joining a military alliance against the U.S. We wouldn't tolerate it. We'd be hopping mad if one of our neighbors did it. So I can understand they're not wanting Ukraine to be in NATO. And really, Ukraine should try to be more like Switzerland and have sort of a neutral sphere with a foot in the East and the West. And I think they would be better off and stronger if they could learn to live at sort of a connecting point between Europe and Asia.
All right, Senator Rand Paul on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Real quick on these vaccine and mask mandates. Don't know if you caught the Super Bowl, but that's just 70,000 people, a good number of celebrities. Nobody's wearing a mask, not even Mayor Garcetti, and yet the poor school kids in California have to mask up.
Well, Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., I think was holding his breath. I saw him. He looked kind of blue. And I'm pretty sure he was holding his breath during the whole game. So there's no way he could have spread it, you know. No, the masks are ridiculous. They're not working. Cloth masks don't work. The virus goes right through the cloth mask or around the cloth mask. Even CNN, if you watch CNN, which I don't recommend, even the doctors on there that love, you know, that are the lapdogs for Fauci, all of them are saying that cloth masks are nearly nothing more than facial decoration. So we've got to quit this nonsense. I have a bill that will make it to the floor hopefully in the next 2 weeks that will get rid of the airline mask mandate. Now, it's a question whether we can win or whether Biden will sign it, but even Democrat governors are finally hearing and feeling the ire of the parents. Moms and dads, regardless of parties, are tired of our kids being punished with these masks. Airline travelers, we're tired of being insulted every time we get on the plane, and we're tired of, you know, we'd rather have a sip of water and some peanuts and be left alone on the plane than somebody hassling us the whole time about your mask is not over your nose, sir. Put your mask on in between your peanuts, sir. You know, we're tired of it. We pay you money. We want to be treated like a customer.
It's true. All right, Senator, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing from you.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Senator Rand Paul, everybody, from the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. One of the few people up on Capitol Hill with a hefty dose of common sense these days when it comes to just about every issue up there. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. Opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Our friends over at Libs of TikTok have some interesting audio. So there is a Skrull, and this Skrull, they have a closet, if you will, and maybe that's the poor choice of words to use, because the children are going into the closet, but they're also coming out of the closet, so I guess that's okay. You're coming out of the closet. We don't know where this school is. But they're inviting the children to come into this closet. They're calling it a transition closet. So let's take a listen as a teacher explains about the transition closet.
The goal of the transition closet is for our students to be able to wear the clothes that their parents approve of, come to school, and then swap out into the clothes that fit who they truly are. And I use the idea that this is like Superman changing in a phone booth. But that idea actually goes a lot further than that, because Superman isn't Clark Kent. Clark Kent is actually the disguise. And when Clark Kent goes into the phone booth, he transforms into Superman, who's really just who he truly is, Kal-El. And so this gives our trans students the opportunity to be the superheroes that we know they are.
Isn't Superman gay now, though? Is that right? No. Yes. No. Superman's son is gay. Thank you. And what is it? Robin is bisexual, so he plays the field. Wonder Woman's still straight. And then you've got, what is it, the bat chick? What's her name? It's a bat girl. Bat chick or bat girl? It's bat girl. Bat girl's a lesbian now. And then Aquaman is, well, he and Charlie the Tuna may be having a thing. I don't know. So anyway, according to the, mixed metaphors aside here, you have this school, and they're inviting kids. So let's say you've got little, we'll pick a name. Just pick a name, Tyrone. All right, so little Tyrone, you dress little Tyrone. He's in first grade, and he goes to school, and he's wearing his Husky jeans. Is that still a thing? We used to have Husky jeans when I was growing up, a little tiny kid. Husky jeans, and he's wearing a little sweater and a jacket. And maybe he's got a baseball cap on. And there you go. You hug your son, Tyrone. And then when he gets to school, he goes into the transition closet. And he comes out wearing, I don't know, pantyhose and stiletto heels. Because that's who Tyrone identifies with. I don't know. Grace, you look frustrated.
Just listening to your analogy there is amusing me.
And then mom and dad are left out of the equation altogether.
Oh, yeah.
If I want to go back in time, Grace Baker, to 1975 when I was in grade school at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary in South Haven, Mississippi.
A long time ago.
And I can tell you that if a little boy child showed up at Hope P. Sullivan wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and then he went into the bathroom and came out wearing pantyhose an address, I can assure you that a call would be made to little Tyrone's home almost immediately.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
What they're trying to do here is separate the child from the parent at the school. And this is happening all over the place, folks. It's nothing new. But there you go. Once again, homeschool, homeschool, homeschool. I cannot say this enough. Homeschool your children, or else your little Tyrone will come home wearing pantyhose. By the way, they've also got to be in their bonnet over snowmen. Have you heard about that? Let's play this audio. This is crazy.
So I was just walking through the park today, overheard this beautiful conversation between this mom and her son, where she said, "Hey, look at all those snow people." And her son, he's like 8, almost defensively was like, "You mean a snowman?" And she was like, "Well, why does it have to be a man?" And I think while this is like relevant to the conversation of some groups of people saying this type of talk is just being politically correct, I think a better question is, why are people still getting offended when we make things gender neutral?
Because poor it's Frosty. A freaking snowman, you idiot.
Poor Frosty.
You know, the only person with common sense in that whole story is the 8-year-old.
I mean, now it'll be what? Frosty, the snow person. See, that's much.
Snow peep?
I don't know.
How do you fit that in there? That makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't go. It doesn't rhyme. Snowman.
I love
Frosty,
the kid.
The snowman.
Because you know he's got a woke mother.
And, oh, yeah.
And you feel bad for those kinds of children.
I know, because they're like over here like, why is my mom insane?
Exactly. And I'm not sure the guy who was overhearing all of this, but he was clearly very taken aback by the 8-year-old.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe this 8-year-old. He sounded so offensive.
Sexist.
Oh, stop.
What was that lip smack?
If you go back and listen. All right. Rewind the audio here.
No.
Go back and listen.
So I was just walking through the park today, overheard this beautiful conversation between this mom and her son.
Yes.
Where she said, "Hey, look at all those snow people." And her son, he's like 8, almost defensively was like, "You mean a snowman?" And she was like, "Well, why does it have to be a man?" And I think while this is like relevant to the conversation of some groups of people saying this type of talk is just being politically correct, I think a better question is, why are people still getting offended when we make things gender neutral?
So it's a freaking snowman, you moron. And by the way, what was the guy stalking the mother and the child for?
That's a good point.
That's a little weird, too.
Just a bit.
But, you know, the poor kid, the poor 8-year-old, I mean, he's like, I can imagine him looking at his mother in disgust. Like, what's wrong with you, woman?
Yes.
Clearly, the adult in this conversation is, in fact, the 8-year-old child.
Agreed.
But this is, folks, I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly in this country because you've got generations of these kids that are growing up, and most of them are voting for Biden. They're driving around in their cars, wearing their face burkas when nobody else is in the car with them, and they don't know their pronouns. Jeez-a-loo. You know, I got an email the other day from somebody, and they actually posted their pronouns, and I just hit delete. I don't even know what they were wanting. I just hit delete. I don't want to know your pronoun. I just want to know if you can do X, Y, or Z. I don't need to know your pronouns. I'm pretty good at figuring that out myself. Thank you very much. All right, got to take a break here. Greg Jarrett coming up from Fox News. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back, America.
X Card from Capital One gives you more of what you love, like premium travel benefits and access to Taylor Swift tickets. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. Plus, get access to Taylor Swift The Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Maybe I'll see you there. the Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You just heard the report on the Durham investigation and what you've heard about that so far. Your thoughts?
This is a big deal. I mean, it's shocking to me that this is not receiving more coverage in the press. I don't think any of the Sunday shows mentioned it. But what we're talking about here is not simply the probe using data scientists to make up a story or links to between Trump and Russia, but the White House. Apparently, there was a private company that had a contract to manage servers for the President of the United States and the White House, and they were sharing information to help build a narrative for a political operation. And you know why? If this is all proven true, it would be one of the biggest political scandals in American history. It would be a crime, no doubt about it, and it would tell you why these people think they can get away with it. They think they can get away with it because the media will not report on it. If this was the other way, if this was a story about how the Trump campaign had hired some data experts and others to go out there and do this to a President Clinton, this would be like we wouldn't be able to talk about anything else around here.
Well, he's not wrong. That Senator Marco Rubio last night on Fox, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have the best investigative journalist in the country. He's been on this story from day one, has written New York Times best-selling books about the attacks on President Trump. Witch Hunt, the story of the greatest mass delusion in American political history, needs to be in your library. It is in mine, and on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Greg Jarrett. Greg, good to have you back with us.
Todd, thanks for having me with you. I appreciate it.
So, Greg, I want to get your take on the news that came out over the weekend from the Durham report. The mainstream media completely ignoring this story and now mocking Fox News, mocking conservative journalists, saying this is a non-story.
Well, to report this story would be an admission that they got it wrong all along. You know, every mainstream journalist was on board that Trump was a Russian asset, that they had absolute proof that he colluded with the Kremlin to influence the 2016 presidential election and was still at it once he took office. He was in Putin's pocket. To report on it now would admit that they got it all wrong and you know, won Pulitzer Prizes for getting it wrong. So it doesn't surprise me that they're going to ignore it, and they have been ignoring it. ABC, NBC, CBS had knowing about it after the story broke on Saturday, first reported by Fox News. The New York Times, the Washington Post, their main reporting arms ignored it. They did an analysis of it and tried to dismiss it and rationalize it as insignificant. So, you know, the media, they were witting accessories to the hoax. And as I wrote in my book, Witch Hunt, it was Clinton who invented the collusion hoax. She financed it. She directed how it was to be circulated to the media and the FBI's, to the FBI. Her false claims were sent out to her cronies and dirty tricksters to disseminate.
The question we've been asking for such a long time is whether or not people will actually pay a price here for what they did. Will President Trump find justice in all of this?
Probably not. I'm hoping that a couple of things will happen. Durham has indicted three people so far. There should be more indictments. And that would certainly help. Second of all, if he issues a report, and I think he will, which lays all of this out, that's something the media cannot possibly ignore. But, you know, whether Hillary Clinton, who was operating what I view as a criminal enterprise, engaged in an illegal scheme involving fraud and obstruction, which is a crime under racketeering statutes, you know, whether she will be prosecuted, you know, it's exceedingly difficult in an organized crime exercise to get the person at the top. She carried it all out in smart and clever ways. She had other people do her dirty work for her. She maintained a distance through an elaborate chain of people. Like a money laundering scheme, she was washing dirty information against Trump. And unless people in that chain break their silence and implicate Hillary, she'll escape culpability, which is tragic.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Greg Jarrett, author of the book Witch Hunt. Greg, there's been a lot of talk about Biden's national security advisor and his role in all of this, Jake Sullivan. Is he one of the targets here?
He was her chief mouthpiece. And you may remember that with respect to these false claims just before the election, it was Jake Sullivan who went on social media and made a claim without foundation, without evidence, that Trump was a Russian asset. Hillary then retweeted it and added some tweets of her own. And, you know, here you've got Jake Sullivan now, who's a top official for Joe Biden, and he was in on the collusion hoax that was invented and financed and peddled by Hillary Clinton. He was doing a lot of the spreading of the smear against Trump.
All right, Greg, where do we go from here? Clearly, nothing's going to get moved until the Republicans take back control of the House and or the Senate. So what happens now? What are we waiting on next?
Well, the good news is that Durham is protected. He was elevated to special counsel, so he is untouchable by the attorney Merrick Garland, who's utterly incompetent and hopelessly partisan. I think that we will see, in addition to the three indictments so far, additional people who will be charged. You know, it's a crime to give false information to the FBI. It's false statements as well as fraud. And if two or more people are involved, Todd, it would constitute conspiracy to defraud the government. So those are crimes that need to be prosecuted against the people who did it. Also wire fraud and mail fraud, depending upon how the fabricated information was communicated. And then also, quite obviously, the activity described by Durham is the crime of computer fraud and abuse under 18 U.S.C. 1030. And as I mentioned before, racketeering statutes to be considered against those involved. This was all a conspiracy to frame Donald Trump as a Russian asset when, in fact, they had no such evidence. And it wasn't just this phony Alpha Bank. It was, in fact, the dossier that was funded by Hillary Clinton, that was utterly fictive. And we now know that, but of course the media for 2 long years claimed that it was mostly true. None of it was true.
Well, you have been spot on throughout this entire horrible episode in American history, Greg. And so thank you for doing a great job and doing the heavy lifting here by writing these incredible books, which I think are so vitally important to getting to the heart of what really went down. Do you think history is going to look back one day and report accurately what happened here?
Not unless there is a sea change in the media. No. I mean, this was the worst case of media malpractice in my lifetime. And unless reporters are forced into a reckoning by the American public, they will not change. And that's, you know, people talk about, oh, this undermines democracy. We're on the precipice of losing democracy. The people who threaten democracy the most are the people that we're supposed to rely on the most, the press, the media. And they have lost their way and really, in many ways, have become the enemies of democracy.
All right, Greg, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you, and don't be a stranger.
Okay, Todd, anytime. Great talking to you.
All right, likewise. Greg Jarrett, everybody. You can follow Greg on Twitter with two G's and two T's, Greg Jarrett. And we've got a link to his book, Witch Hunt, The Story of the Greatest Mass Delusion in American Political History, over on the live show blog. By the way, before we go to break, just to give you an idea of what the Democrats and how the Democrats are responding to the latest Durham information, this filing coming out. Here's Congressman Adam Smith actually defending the spying, saying, hey, what's the big deal? We always lie.
You know, Hillary Clinton was running a campaign. Donald Trump was running a campaign. You know, Donald Trump was, you know, using the email scandal against Hillary Clinton. And I'm sure if Hillary Clinton thought that there were links between Trump and Russia, you know, if they could find out, you know, what those links were, that's part of it.
I'm not going to go down this road too much because I know you haven't read all the filings, but yeah. We're talking about here a campaign that infiltrates a computer system and creates a narrative and then does so, according to this filing, for the president-elect of the United States. That's a different kettle of fish, isn't it, Congressman? And if you go back and you look at what was being said at the time and how many people were saying Russia, 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 and the coverage, if you look in the context of this filing, it's a much different thing. I get your preamble. We're covering all of that and the concerns that are facing this country. But this is a big deal, isn't it?
Well, again, and I will sort of reverse Rubio. Let's see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is alleged. We got to go in and figure out exactly what is there, because this will be one area where I will disagree with Senator Rubio. The idea of making stuff up about your political opponents is in no way unique to those who oppose Donald Trump. This has happened repeatedly and in both directions. So I'm going to figure out exactly what's going on here before commenting on the current speculation.
Yeah, everybody does it. Yeah, when you're running for you can say your opponent wears a dress. I mean, that's everybody does it. That's just the way politics is. That's what the Democrats are saying here. Unbelievable. Hey, folks, you know that I'm a big fan of Patriot Mobile. I made the switch. They are now my wireless carrier, and they should be yours, too. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs. They're not going to be donating money to any far-left organizations. And that's why I want you to consider switching to Patriot Mobile right now. I'm hearing that thousands of you have already done just that. They have incredible nationwide coverage, use the same towers the other guys use. And best of all, they've got a plan to fit any budget, no matter how big, no matter how small. Are you a veteran? Are you a first responder? Well, Patriot Mobile is going to give you an even bigger discount, because that's just who they are. They're just good people who own Patriot Mobile, and they make it super easy to switch. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now, they're going to ask you for a promo code, and you need to give them my first name, Todd, and you're going to be able to activate those great discounts. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. With an extra 30% off the gifts you'll love to give. And get 15% off beauty with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of big savings, like 25% off dressed up designer looks for kids from Calvin Klein and more. Plus an extra 25% off luggage from Samsonite, Delsey and more. Download the free Macy's app for more great deals at Macy's.
Don't know how to say this politely, but our president is slap crazy nuts. This is President Biden just a few moments ago admitting that he put a dead dog on a woman's doorstep. Good golly.
I got a call one night. A woman said to me, obviously not of the same persuasion as I was politically, called me and said, there's a dead dog on my lawn. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, have you called the county? He said, yes, they're not here. And I said, well, I'll get them in the morning. She said, I want it removed now. I pay your salary. So I went over.
Oh,
I picked it up. She said, I want it out of my front yard. I put it on her doorstep.
Uh-huh. All right. So, so Biden, I mean, if he's Grace, I've never heard of anything quite like this. So Biden is admitting that as an elected leader, he terrorized a woman by putting a dead dog on her doorstep.
That would traumatize me.
So this reminds me of a story. Now, everybody's laughing. Everybody's gee-hawing. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program at the Liberty University studios. Everybody's gee-hawing. The mainstream media is laughing. Nobody's critical. Nobody's criticizing President Biden for putting a dead dog on the woman's doorstep. That reminds me of something that happened not too long ago. Mitt Romney, when he was running for the White House, came under fierce attack from the mainstream media because he admitted that during a family trip, a family road trip, he accidentally left the family dog on top of the station wagon and drove, I don't know, across country or something. Seamus is the dog. It rode in a carrier, like one of those carriers up on top of the station wagon.
Oh.
So and he called holy you know what. I will say this. If you got a dog, I'm not sure that's the best place to put the dog.
No.
But I will say this. At least Romney's dog is still alive.
I was going to say, I mean,
Seamus, yeah. I mean, Seamus is dead now, but, you know, old age. It was happening back in the 1980s.
He lived through the incident.
Who puts a dead dog? That guy's weird.
That is super weird. To even touch the dead dog besides just, you know, removing it from the premises.
Super creepy. Sounds like maybe he was in Hunter Biden's Parmesan cheese stash.
Perhaps.
Maybe that's where Hunter picked up the habit. I mean, you never know.
Never know.
Like father, like son, as they say. That's the saying.
I wouldn't be shocked.
There you go. You know who I feel bad for right now? Whoever Joe Biden's next-door neighbor is. That's who I feel sorry for.
I bet they see some interesting things.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Keith in North Carolina, been holding on for a while. Hey, Keith, what's going on?
Held me to the wire, didn't you?
Hey, we're trying to get you in right under the wire, Keith.
That'll work. Hey, by the way, thanks for another educational and enlightening program.
Well, appreciate that. Well, I'm glad somebody enjoyed it.
That story about the current president, that shows that he has a little bit of sadistic humor in him. But that's not why I called. If Trump decides he wants to run, this is just a political thought, he ought to mention the election every once in a while, and that's where they're going to load their guns to get at him. And the minute he formally announces and someone starts asking him about that, he just comments, hey, that election's over. There's nothing we can do about it. We got to worry about now and the present. And this is what I want to do. This is where I want to change the country. And leave it at that and never mention that election again. I think it will throw them all off.
You know, Keith, I think that's actually a pretty good way of framing the argument. And you could even go a step further and say, you know what, folks, I'm going to work my hardest in this election if I'm elected, and we're going to fix what's broken with the election system, and we're going to declare war on voting fraud. So, I think it's all in the way it's framed. But Keith, I think the president needs a hopeful message, and if he does that, I think he's going to win in a massive landslide. Keith, always a pleasure to hear from you, sir. Thank you. Folks, been a great day. A great day. Wow. Biden, dead dog. Jeez-a-loo, America. All right, get out there. Be good, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.